Hey guys, and welcome to Smart Women Read Romance, a book review podcast where we fangirl over all things romance. I'm Juliette.
And I'm Jessen.
Today we'll be reviewing The Coldest Winter by Brittany Cherry. Before we dive in, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast platform, and please rate and review us. If you want more romance discussions, follow us on our social media pages at SWReadRom, join our Facebook group, The Swoon Zone, and follow Jessen on her YouTube channel, Jessen Reads Romance. If you'd like some podcast extras, become a patron of the podcast on Patreon, where we have extra content, including exclusive episodes and give away free enamel pens, stickers, books, and bookmarks. And a special shout out to our patrons for all of your support. We love you guys.
We love and appreciate you. All righty. So, Juliet. Okay, so in case you're new to this podcast, Juliet and I definitely have different personalities. She is much more of an extrovert, and I'm much more of an introvert. And like, whenever we go to book cons and stuff, and I'm like, oh, look, my favorite author, I'll just like see them from afar and just be like, hi, you know, like from afar. And I, like, the last time I went to a Polycon, and like, yeah, Sophie Larker's right there, and Julia's like, I'm just gonna go up to her. I'm like,
I'm just
no,
gonna go introduce myself. Come on, Jessen.
I'm like, what do I even say to her? I don't know. I don't know what to say to her, even though I've been on an interview with her before. It's different. It's different. So I'm just like, oh no. But like, Juliet has zero problem making friends with authors. She just is like, I like you, I'm going to be your friend.
Please, you're going to be my friend.
You're going to be my friend. We're going to be friends. So yeah, Juliet is very good at just making friends.
So when we did Horde King way back when, we've done several of the Horde Kings.
Yeah.
Because we love the Horde King. It is
our life. If you've not read the Horde King series by Zoe Draven, you're absolutely missing out.
Yeah, dude, like, run, don't walk to the Horde King series. But anyway, I saw, when I read these, I was like, Jessen, Zoe Draven needs to be my friend. Like, she was one of those moments where I was like, I need to know her.
I want to befriend her.
So the greatest thing about this last Apollycon was, so Emma Hamm is also one of my oldest author friends. Like, before I became an indie author with Stay a Spell, like, she has just been a ride or die in the background. Like, we would, and she would always encourage me, like, you should totally do indie. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, I should. She was even the one who gave me Jennifer Zimnick's name for the cover artist for Stay a Spell, which is, I still all the time, like, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for that, you know, recommendation.
For my iconic book covers.
Yes. So I was talking to Emma, and we just had a great time at Apollycon. And after we left, I'm literally on the airplane and texting her. I was like, hey, I was just thinking, you, me, and Zoe Draven should do an anthology. And she's like, fuck yes, we're doing it, like, immediately. And I was like, okay, let's start a three-way chat on, you know, Instagram. And of course, she names our group, because I didn't name it, you know, I'm just like, whatever. She named it Fuck Boys Need Not Apply. So that is
our little private group.
That's our private group. And so anyway, so we started talking, and of course Emma and I are planning it out. I'm like, y'all, I've just been brainstorming titles for it, and this needs to be Monster Hero. I'm like, yes, let's do Monster Hero. So anyway, it came to be. We are publishing The Lovely Dark together.
The Lovely Dark Anthology. Very
the
exciting.
The Lovely Dark Anthology. A Monster Hero Anthology. And so I'm so excited about this, because all the heroes are going to be like horns, fangs, all the things.
Right.
You know?
So each of the stories.
Or one merman, I should say.
Ooh. But each of the stories that they're telling, they're like a little standalone novella type of story. And they're all going to be bound in one book together. That's what makes an anthology.
Yes.
And the one that Juliet's writing is actually attached to a world that she's very excited to write in.
So excited.
I really like that. I like how authors, I personally am a fan of like these kind of like standalone stories that are attached to a world. Mm-hmm. Carissa Broadbent has done it. She has her main series that's become very popular, The Crowns of Nyaxia. The first book is The Serpent and the Wings of Night. Mm-hmm. She also has two books. One is a novella, which is Six Scorched Roses, that can be read as a standalone, but it's still within the same world. Like, it's there in the world, but like, you don't have to read it,
right,
you know, to understand anything from the main series. I think it's a very smart thing to do, and also just like a good thing, especially if you're writing like long-running series, or just a way to like find your audience. Some people feel more comfortable like trying out a novella instead of committing to a whole book. So I have personally always been a big fan of anthologies. In fact, I've talked about this multiple times Alona Andrews, which is one of my favorite authors of all time. Mm-hmm. I read the first book in the Kay Daniel series, which they have said publicly that they wish that they could rewrite that one because it's not like the most easily accessible world building book. Mm-hmm. And I had struggled with the first book of that series, and I read it, and then I was like, I don't know if I want to continue with it. And then there's an anthology that included Nalini Singh, who I was a huge fan of, and I ended up by buying the whole anthology. And the next novella after Nalini Singh's was Alona Andrews, and it was within the Kay Daniels series, and I read that one, and that's what brought me back to Kay Daniels, is reading that anthology. So anyway, I'm a big fan. I'm a huge fan, and I'm so excited that she's doing an anthology with Emma Hamm and Zoe Draven. Like, holy fucking shit. I'm selfishly excited because then whenever, you know, I go with them to Polycon, I'll have like
you're gonna have your own.
A more natural introduction to Zoe Draven, too. Be like, hi.
I'm just, exactly. It'll be legit. Like, we're going to have dinner together. It's not just going to be, like, we're going to all be hanging out together. As a matter of fact, I can probably say this. We decided that we're going to probably have some sort of, like, impromptu live, because we're going to release.
Yes. At a Polycon?
Yes. Like, maybe just, like, at the bar or something. Mm-hmm. I already volunteered you to make up rapid fire questions for us. So you can get on that for us.
Okay.
If you don't mind, just about the heroes.
So,
you know,
like a live on like social media?
Yes.
Oh, okay. At a Polycon. Like a live like meet and greet with like people like casually at the bar. Or
yeah. No, just us talking about, because we're releasing it at a Polycon.
Okay.
There'll be special editions, but it's also going to be released as an ebook and all of that.
Oh,
so
sweet. I can definitely do some rapid questions.
And I just love how The Wraith King was supposed to be a standalone and like, what the fuck, Jessen? I can't do a standalone.
Yeah, you're not built for standalones.
I'm not.
I'm also. I think it's the way that we read too. We like series.
And once we get immersed in a world and we really like it, like, we want to stay there.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
like, wait, but why doesn't this side character have a book planned? I like this side character.
I have three different kinds of dark fae. Why am I only doing one of them?
I'm definitely one of those people where I read a book and I'm definitely paying attention to side characters. I'm like, I hope that they have a book. Like,
yeah.
That's just me. That's how I always am. Yeah. So it's very difficult for me to read a standalone and not ship people in the background. Yeah. Very, very difficult. Anyway. All right, guys, let's dive back into this book, The Coldest Winter. So if you've not read Brittany Cherry before, she used to go under the name Brittany C. Cherry, but I think that she's officially kind of just like changed it to Brittany Cherry. But she is such an amazing writer. For me, I think that she's a more emotional writer. Mm-hmm. She does have some angst in her book. She deals with some heavy topics. And I had been hearing about The Coldest Winter before it was published. A couple of people that I knew got ARCs. I was not taking ARCs at the time because I was in school. So I was like, I can't do that. But what actually drew me to this book, and this book is so much more than this trope, but the trope that drew me to this book was a student-teacher romance. And I'm like, I'm like, forbidden love? I love forbidden love.
Oh, yeah.
So I was expecting, I don't know exactly what I was expecting, but I was like, maybe like college age, like student-teacher, whatever.
Right.
And I was very surprised when I started reading that the hero is actually still in high school.
He's a senior in high school.
So he is 19.
Yeah.
He has some health issues. Right. He had some health issues that held him back, and he started school a little bit later. And it's literally a student teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Who is falling in love with the student at the school that she's student teaching at. So, like, very forbidden. And anyway, this book turned out to be so much more. There's so much more, like,
It didn't go where I thought it was going to go in a wonderful way.
And also, disclaimer, because I was talking about this to Crystal the other day because I was telling her that I was rereading The Coldest Winter. One of the things that I thought Brittany Cherry was going to do, because she's done this in the past with her, what is it called? Eleanor and Gray or something like that. I forgot what the series is called, but where there's like a time jump. And so I was anxiously reading this book, and I was like, oh my god, there's gonna be a time jump, and I don't want them to be separated for a long time.
Yeah,
well, this book does not have a time jump, and I'm actually very grateful that
me
she
too
didn't do
I don't
that.
Like time jumps
I don't
either.
Really love it, because like,
unless it's like just a prologue, and then, you know, because it's like just like almost like a flash forward sort of thing.
Exactly So anyway, I just had to like make that disclaimer. If any of you guys are like me and don't love time jumps in the middle of your book, then this book does not have a time jump. But anyway, so let's talk about the characters really quick before we get into the story. So Starlet Evans is our heroine. She has been pretty much perfect her whole life, and she has had like this life plan where she knows, she sees how her life is going to play out, and she knows that it's going to play out in this exact order. And it's really funny because I actually used to be like this too. Whenever I was younger, I was like, married at 23, I was like first baby at 25. I'm
right,
like planning all these things. Have it all nothing ever goes to plan, guys. Right. Nothing ever goes to plan.
Same.
And of course, like Starlet, it begins where she knows that her boyfriend's probably going to propose. It's her birthday. Mm-hmm. She's turning 21, and then of course she catches him cheating, and so like her life starts to come crashing down around her.
Like that immediately eliminates all of her plans.
All of her plans, and she's like, oh my gosh, and. Also, part of her plans kind of revolve around living up to her mother, who her mom died when she was around 13 years old. And she's chosen her profession. She's going to school to be a teacher because her mom was one of the greatest teachers she's ever known. And so she kind of...
She's just emulating her mother.
Every decision that she makes is like, would my mom be proud of me?
Right.
So that's a huge part of Starlet's personality. And her friend, her good friend Whitney, she is like, listen, we're going to go out. It's your birthday. Like, fuck that stupid fuck boy.
You're not going to sit here and cry and eat ice cream on your birthday.
You're coming to a frat party. And she's like, no, because she's a good student.
She's like, I don't go to frat parties.
But Whitney makes her
go out to frat
party.
She doesn't even drink, you know?
Exactly. And then she meets this beautiful man, and she doesn't even know his name.
Oh, my God. The banter.
The banter.
The immediate banter between these two.
And it's so funny because Starlet is caught off guard with how forward this man is.
Oh, super brazen.
One of the first things that she actually notices about this man, who is beautiful, is his eyes. And that whenever
his sad eyes.
And so she actually notices that first. She's like, okay, so he looks like he's cocky on the outside, but like what's going
on?
There's something deeper. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like he's been hurt. And that's actually what draws her to him first. And then, of course, his dirty mouth.
I know.
Dirty mouth. And she's like, what are you saying to me right now? I'm scandalized, but turned on at the same time.
What's so funny?
So they do have like a one night stand, and it literally is one night stand. She doesn't even know who his name is, and he doesn't know her name.
They have amazing sex one time, and he immediately just flees.
He flees. Like they have like this connection, and then he turns it off, and she could see him building up this wall, and she is confused, and she's like regretting it because she's like, "Is this me? This isn't me."
So
like, I like their first interaction being like so abrupt and brief, and I like the mix that Brittany Cherry brings to it where. You feel that deeper connection, but it still has all the hallmarks of just like one night stand type of thing, right?
Right.
So anyway, that's how our story starts. So if you've not read The Coldest Winter, please go read it and come back and check it out with us.
So I want to add on in their first encounter at the frat party before we jump to Milo's point of view. One of the things she does, the whole, who hurt you? And he's like, no one. She goes, liar. You're a liar. You know, like they're like back and forth. But like he's put off by the fact that she can see through his facade.
Yeah.
And he distracts her with sex, you know, quickly.
So he is actually there at the party looking for a distraction.
Yeah.
We don't know it at this point, but Milo has had a recent loss. He recently lost his mother.
Yes.
Almost a year, not quite. And she had been sick. She got diagnosed with cancer like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the loss is very fresh for him, and he's been spiraling. And he actually had a friend who is a year older than – well, a grade older than him, has graduated high school, and that's why he was
invited him to the frat party. Right.
And he was just trying to, like, drink and get drunk and get lost.
Yeah, that's one of the things he asked her, because she kind of, like – she's like, I've had a really shitty night or whatever. My boyfriend cheated on me.
And she's like, and it's my birthday. And he was
And then he's like, do you want to forget about it?
Yeah.
She's like, about what? Everything? Yes. And so this is not like her. To say yes to this like impulsive, you know, thing. So I love they have this like, I mean, super, super hot sex.
Yes.
In this strange connection.
It's deeper.
Yes.
So I have this quote and I really like this. So Starlet is plus size and like her boyfriend compared her cheating boyfriend to Cheerios, that she is bland. Good for you, but like not exciting. And
he's like, I know we could get along later in life.
Yeah, later in life. And like my parents really like you. Like you probably make a great wife.
Fuck you, dude.
Like, oh, God. I love how Whitney calls him med ugly. Like, he's medium ugly. He's not, like, super ugly, but he's still. And the problem with the relationship, according to Whitney, is that Scarlett is hot, hot.
Yeah.
And that when a med ugly gets with a hot, hot, he starts thinking he's hot shit. And then he goes off the walls and he's not. So I love at the party when she sees Starlet talking to Milo, she's like, hot, hot. Like,
yeah,
hot,
like,
hot,
that's
hot
a
man.
Good one. Yes.
That's a hot, hot man. And you should totally.
Because Whitney kind of wanted her to hook up with somebody. Yeah. Just have fun.
Be free.
Just
do something unexpected.
Yeah.
And so when they're in the room together and he's like undressing her and stuff, and he's talking to her and telling her how beautiful and how amazing she is, Starlet's like so blown away because she's never had this before. Mm-hmm. The sex with her and her ex-boyfriend has always been something to get over. Like,
right.
She'd rather hang out with him than have sex with him. So she's not had a great sex life. And she says this. She says, the praise hit me in ways I'd never felt before. I'd never been with a man who admired me in bed with his words. It
Ooh.
Only increased my confidence. And I love that. I
yes.
love that. And I think that that's what's so – it's not even – so – I love dirty talk, but it's not even just like what's the filthiest thing that this man can say. It's also just praise and like just talking lovingly about that person, even if it's not like the dirtiest thing you've ever said. Like, that's also really great. And I think it is good foreplay. Maybe not the dirtiest talk ever, but it's good foreplay. And I really appreciate that. So
mm-hmm.
I am a person who appreciates both. I like the dirty words, but I also like the sweet words as well. Like, I want both of them in my, like, foreplay.
Yeah.
So he blows her mind, and then he just absolutely runs away. And so Starlet is feeling a little bit bad about herself
runs.
After that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we switch to his point of view, Milo, and finally we get, you know, his point of view of what he's been dealing with. And not only did he lose his mom, but his dad has been spiraling. He has been drinking every single day. He doesn't even pay attention to Milo at all. Like, he just doesn't want to look at Milo because Milo has his mom's eyes, and so the dad cannot look at Milo. And he comes home and the pizza is like burning in the oven.
Oh, God.
And he's like, you could have burned the house down. And the dad just kind of like, get away, boy, like, you know, and like telling him like, what are you doing with your life? Like, you need to join the military, because his dad was a military man. He's just like not doing well with the loss of his wife at all.
Yeah, it's obvious that they're both abusing substances to forget.
So Milo does it with his friends. And this is something that I really appreciate about how Brittany Cherry wrote Milo's character and how he uses drugs and alcohol to kind of like numb the pain. Because I'm not a person like, I'm just not a fan of drugs, guys. I've never been that person. And so I don't love books where my characters
that's about
do
drugs. And, yeah.
But I like the way that Brittany Cherry wrote this. So he goes to like a party with his friends and like his friends are still have been supportive of him, but they know that
he's not really there.
He's
like a zombie.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
He's just there to get drunk and high.
Right.
And there's this new guy, Tom, who's only been in the friend group for like a year, and he gave Milo pills. And so there's a scene where he's just kind of like drinking, not really paying attention to his friends, and he wants another pill from Tom, and Tom gives it to him, even though Tom's like, are you sure you're okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. And he tries to drive home. Well, he ends up by not getting in the car and passing out in the snow.
I love this part. He decides to, before he gets in his car, to do snow angels because he used to do them with his mom.
Yeah.
And then he passes out in the snow.
So Tom actually loads him up and brings him to his house and takes care of him. And I like the way that it's a natural thing for you to want to drown out your pain with all this stuff. But I like the way that his friends still really care about him. And they don't just feel like stoner losers. Like, they really care about him.
Yeah.
Like, Tom's like, look, I know we don't know each other very well, but like, if you ever
want to
talk.
I am here for you.
I'm willing to listen. Like, I might be goofy and stuff, but like, I'm willing to be a shoulder that you can lean on. And of course, Milo brushes it off. Like, I don't need that.
I like this little moment, though, where he goes, thanks, T. He's like, wait a second. Did you just give me a
nickname?
You're my or Mimi, whatever. It's like Mimi.
He's like, no, we're not doing
that.
No, sorry.
But it was a sweet moment.
So then at school, he is in the principal's office. And at first, you know, we don't know that he's related to the principal. So his principal is his uncle, was related to his mom. And he is giving Milo just as dressing down. He's like, I know you're struggling, but like you're flunking high school, you're not going to be able to graduate. You're going to have to repeat
he's
this
He's like,
year.
Your mom would not appreciate
he's
this.
He's like, don't talk about my mom.
Yeah.
And he was like, I've lost her too. Like, it's not just you.
Yeah.
And then nothing is getting through to Milo. So his uncle's like, she left you a letter. And Milo's like, what?
What?
And she was like, no, she didn't, because I would have gotten it. And he was like, no, she left it with me, and you're not supposed to get it until you graduate.
And, yeah, and
like,
this give is, it to me This now. Is his mom's brother.
Yes.
His, you know, his uncle.
Yeah. So he's like, give it to me now. And he's like, no. He's like, I'm not giving it to you. You
it have was your mom's graduate. Wishes. I'm not breaking yeah. her, you know, dying wish. Yeah. You know?
So I'm setting you up with a tutor because you have to graduate. And mm-hmm. you're going to go to your classes. You're going to turn in your homework. And you're going to graduate. So go
at this point, with this tutor. So at this point, I 100% knew. I was like, OMG, the tutor has got to be Starlet.
Yeah.
It has to be. But I did not know she would come barreling into. So Mr. Slade's class. So let's set up Mr. Slade. So first of all, this is his senior year. We're in the spring semester. And so all Mr. Slade has seen all year long is this loser who doesn't show up for class, you know, whatever. Mr. Slade is a loser, by the way.
Yeah. He's a bad teacher.
He is a very bad teacher. And I've run across these types as a high school teacher. Fortunately, less of them than the actual ones like Star. But, you know, they are out there who just, they basically just think some kids are write-offs and there's no point in even trying. And, you know, and so they, you know, they insult them in front of class, which is the worst thing you can do to a
That's
student.
That's like literally my nightmare.
Down.
Sorry.
Like to being tear embarrassed down a student
in front of class. Yeah, like I hate it.
Like why? That is horrible. Yeah. That is horrible to a student.
So like he like gives him back his like pop quiz and it's an F. And like in front of everyone, he just like, I expect nothing less from you. Like, of course you got an F, like in front of the whole class. Like he's just talking down to Milo, just horrible. And then all of a sudden the student teacher barrels through and it's Starlet.
He's like, sorry.
And he goes, fuck.
I love he says that we're loud in class. Fuck.
Like, oh like, my
and
God.
Then everybody looks and she gets this like panic.
She's like, what is happening? So in between class, she's just kind of like, what is going
she's
on?
She's like, how old are you?
And he's like, I'm 19. But and she's like, why were you at a frat party? What is happening? My life is over.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to tell
like,
anybody.
Calm down.
Like he does like kind of like meanly tease her about it. And then she starts tearing up and he's like, wait, don't do that.
Don't cry.
Don't cry. I'm not going to tell anybody. I promise. And she's like, okay. And then all of a sudden, the principal walks up and he's like, ah, Starlet, you've met Milo, your new pupil who you're going to be tutoring. And she's like, yes, I have. And she's like, oh, my God.
I have to spend every afternoon with this kid.
Not only do I have to spend an hour with him in class, but I have to spend an hour with him out of class, too. This is her worst nightmare. She's just like, my life is about to be ruined.
I love, though, also when we get in Milo's point of view, because he is just very cold and you know, sort of numb from things. But when he knows that he's going to meet Starlet, suddenly it's like this slight
Almost
thing
a
changes.
Spark.
A small spark. And he's like,
I'm
kind of excited to go to tutoring.
Yeah, of interest in like
you know?
Life.
Like I just like engaging with her. She's interesting, you know?
This is something to shake him up in his life. He's been in a downward spiral, and now something interesting is happening to actually like pull him away from that.
And it has nothing to do with doing well in school. It's just like he's intrigued by her, you know?
At the library, they meet up, and I love how Starlet, she is such a good teacher, and, like, he admires this, and the way that she's laying it all out, she's like, this is what your schedule is going to be like every single day. I want you to start turning in to me. Here's my personal cell phone number. Give it to me, and I'll
take Sundays off.
Yes.
You know?
And then he mentions that he doesn't like to read, and she was like, well, there's options. We can do audiobooks, and how about you listen here? So this is the next assignment. You listen to it, and then I'll listen to it, and you're going to have to, you know, call me, and we'll talk about it, whatever. And, like, he's admiring. He's like, wow, this actually kind of seems really nice. She's laid out his
getting
schedule
him,
where he's had breaks, and he was like, wait, breaks? And she was like, yeah, you can't study without breaks.
Yeah,
it's not how it works,
right?
So like I love the way that she makes learning accessible to him in a way that's realistic, that she did not like, you have to study
because it's a bit overwhelming. He's behind in everything. And he's kind of like, it's not even something he knew how to tackle. But now he's got this letter dangling from his mom's letter. And he's like, I've got to graduate.
Yeah.
You know?
So he does want to try, but it feels daunting. But Starlet makes it a little less daunting.
Yeah.
And then she says, like, everything is going to work out fine. He's just like, what fortune cookie kind of shit are
bullshit
you saying?
Bullshit is this.
She was like, oh, well, that's something my dad used to say. You know, after my mom passed away, my dad would say everything's going to work out fine. And I just kind of adopted it. So Milo, in his head, he's kind of shocked. He's like, wow.
Oh, I love this moment. I love this moment.
What are the odds that this girl also has lost her mom? But he doesn't say anything about his mom, but he also is like, wow, I feel a kinship to her. She's also lost a mom as well. And so I love how he goes to the lake in the morning. That's one of the things, like, whenever he's drunk and high and he, like, mm-hmm. misses a sunrise, he kind of beats himself up about that because his mom and dad, they have a bench in this lakeside park.
Their initials are even carved in it.
Their initials are carved because the dad actually, like, bought the bench for her. And, like, it's, like, in a secluded area that nobody goes to. And that was, like, their family time. And before the mom died, Milo says that his mom told him to find her in the sunrises. Mm-hmm. And so he likes to go early in the morning to the bench to watch the sunrise because that's how he feels close to his mom.
And this is what I thought was also brilliant by Brittany Cherry is because, like, when we first meet Milo, it's like, who is this dick? Yeah, like, he even calls himself a dick. Yeah. He seems like a 100% douchebag.
Somebody who doesn't have
any feelings.
Any feelings
or care for, like, anyone else.
Layers. Like, nothing. Yeah, he just feels so shallow. One note, shallow, one dimensional, but he's not.
And then when we get to this point of view, we see that, you know, that's all a facade, hiding his heartbreak, his constant heartbreak, and him having no support system because his father is just as lost as he is. But it's like he has these moments where he's like, I need to think, you know, I want to think about my mom and the sunrise. And it's like, these are like poetic moments,
and
you know.
Brittany Cherry is so good at writing that. So when he's on the bench and saying, like, rain or sunshine, he has to get to this park, you know, no matter what, he says, some days the clouds block the sunrises, but I figured the sun was still there. And I'm just like, that's so powerful. Like, even on your darkest days where it's hard to see the good things, like, good things are still there. You just have to, like, fight back the clouds to see them. And that's what Milo's struggling to do right now.
Right.
He can't, sometimes days are so cloudy for him that he just can't find the bright spot.
And but that's what's so cool about Starlet. Yes, because she's like, everything's going to turn out all right. My dad said so. She just has this optimism that he's never seen before.
It's infectious. It's infectious. Yes. And, so a couple days later, he's been doing really well. Like, Starlet's really proud. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been turning in his stuff. He's been doing really well. Mm-hmm. But then this one day, he goes to school. It's the anniversary of his mom's death. It's been 1 year.
So he's backtracking. He goes to Tom, his friend, for pills.
Yeah, he comes high, and he's looking for more. He just wants to pass out. He doesn't want to be.
And his uncle's like, you shouldn't have come to school. And he's like, no, I have to, remember? I have to do well in school and go to class. You told me. He's like, you could have taken today off.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's being belligerent on purpose because he's hurting and he's mad. And that's not why he lashes out at other people. You know?
So Tom gives him pills, worried about him, but still gives him the pills.
Yeah.
And Starlet sees him in the middle of the hall being like, what is wrong with you?
Eyes dilated. Like,
she's like, are you high? And he takes out another pill and she's like, oh my God, and like slaps it out of his hand. Like, what are you doing? And she's like, you cannot go to class like this. And like pulls him into the janitor's closet. And this is where she finds out that his mom died.
Yeah.
So like she had no idea. And finally he tells her, and he doesn't really know that he's confessing this. And it's just, he also says, like, you know, not only do I have to worry about this, but like my dad is just like not doing well. Like he's drunk all the time. I have to take care of her and just like fuck him for making me do this. And Starlet is just kind of like, her heart is breaking because now she understands him so much better. Yeah. Now understands. She's like, when I lost my mom, if I had didn't have my dad, I would have not been able to focus on school or anything. Like nothing would have felt important without my dad.
Yeah, her dad was the rock.
Her dad was there, like was present, and he was hurting too, but he was there for Starlet. And that's the difference in like what's happening right now. Like he has no one on his side except for principal, his uncle.
Yeah, his uncle.
But his uncle can only do so much, you know.
Yeah.
And without, you know, just the heaviness of his dad spiraling right alongside with him, and he's just very resentful.
His home life is so depressing.
Yes.
This is also the first time, the first moment besides the one night stand where we see Starlet start to make lots of choices that are not her usual choices.
Yes.
She is always in the good girl lane, doing everything correct. Well, instead, she lies. She texts Slade, the teacher she's a teacher student for, and says, an emergency, family emergency came up. I can't teach today.
Make it to class,
and so she stays in the closet, gives him water till he sobers up, like for hours to make sure he sobers up.
Yeah.
This is very opposite of what old Starlet would do, you know?
She's definitely making decisions that could impact her life long term.
Right.
Negatively. So the next time that they meet for a study session, Milo is assuming that Starlet's going to berate him for all the things. And she's totally understanding.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit pissed, though, because he could see, quote, pity in her eyes.
Yes.
But she's just like, kind
of course
like,
I feel sorry for you.
She pushes. And this is one of my favorite scenes. I mean, there's so many really great scenes. But I really love that even though he is very prickly, he doesn't want to talk about his mom. She pushes anyway. And she's like, tell me about her. What was her name? Yeah. Or what is her name? She always talks about his mom and her mom in the present tense.
Yeah. And at first it annoys him, but then he realizes he likes it because it's like she's still here.
And
you know?
And so Milo is just kind of like, nobody's ever asked me to talk. Like, to he talk hasn't about had her. The opportunity to talk about his mom.
Yeah.
And I really love how this moment plays out because at first he's resistant. He doesn't want to say anything.
This is so healing.
And so Starlet starts talking about her mom. She's like, well, my mom was named this, and she loved doing this. And
she made this special bike for me. I love it. I was talking about that bike.
And I love how Milo's like, what are you doing, Starlet? And she says, sharing a few of my scars to make you feel safe enough to share your own. If you don't want to share, that's fine. I won't push you anymore. But I feel happy when people ask me about my mom. I love talking about her because it's like she's still here when I get to share. Most people say they're sorry and carry on with their lives. I don't want to do that to you, Milo. I want to know more. And Milo just kind of like, what? Where have you come from? You know?
I know.
And he starts sharing about his
mom. I love it.
And then we find out, so both their mothers were Italian.
Uh-huh.
His mom, which in the very beginning, we have this letter and we don't know who it's from.
Yeah.
And it's signed Con Amore. And
it also has a recipe. It says, here's some of my recipes.
Yes. So Milo's mom was a chef and she actually had a restaurant called Con Amore. And Starlet's like, oh my goodness.
Oh my God. My mom and I used to go there all the time.
Said that was the most authentic Italian restaurant.
Yes.
And we used to love it. And she even tells Milo, she's like, I'm so glad I got to experience a piece of her. And
like, I mean, this is like, Milo is just like, oh my God, where have you been?
Yes.
And he starts to even have thoughts that maybe his mom put her in his life for a reason. You know, like.
Exactly. Exactly. So he also has this project that he has to do for his photography class.
Yeah.
That's like his whole grade. He has to do a photography project. It has to be tied in with emotions. And Starlet has an idea. She's like, I have an idea for you. Cold, withdrawn. He's like, wow, Starlet, tell me something.
She's like, well,
my praises
if the
more.
Shoe fits.
Yeah. And she's like, actually, I have this idea. You know, up north, there's the Apostle
the
Island.
Landscape.
Ice
this landscape
ice caves.
Is very.
It would be such a good opportunity to take pictures there. And he's like, you know what? That sounds great. And she's like, you know, she offers and she's beating herself up after she makes this offer. She's like, I could drive up with you that weekend or whatever.
And I could help you set up all your equipment. And yeah, right, Star.
Yeah.
She is so attracted to him and she can't help it. Like, she can't help but be drawn to him. I love that about her, though. It's like she knows this is legally wrong, you know, for a student teacher.
But Starlet's the type of person that she cannot.
She follows
help
her emotions.
Care
yes.
about people. She cares
yes.
about people.
Yes.
She's so earnest in how much she cares about people. And like Milo, she sees the potential. She knows that he's not stupid.
And that he needs someone.
Doesn't apply itself. Like, and she needs to be that guiding light to push him forward. And she also feels really great whenever she's around him. And she's kind of chasing that feeling, too, without admitting it.
She even is, like, comparing a little bit. She's like, I never even felt this way around, I forgot the old boyfriend's name.
Yeah.
Whatever his name was, stupid guy.
And that's, I think that's so important to compare. Because when she was talking about, like, being with her boyfriend, like, she just knew that it was going to follow this pattern.
Yeah.
And it was following that pattern. And what happens if she never caught him cheating and she ended up by being engaged to this douchebag who never appreciated her?
You know what's funny, too, is I want to admit this. That originally when I started, I thought two things were going to happen. And neither of them happened. And I was so
relieved.
Pleasantly surprised. One, I thought the old jackass boyfriend was going to come back and somehow try to cause trouble. And then Milo would just have to kick his ass or whatever. But
beat down.
That never happened. Like, he was going to come begging. That wasn't even part of it. And then I thought Mr. Slade was going to do something worse. Because she defends him one day to Mr. Slade. And Mr. Slade has a talking to her. Like, you don't know. You don't have my experience, little girl kind of situation.
Yeah, like, once you've been teaching 30 years,
yeah,
like,
then
come
you
back
can
and talk
tell
to
me.
Me.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You just a total dick. So I thought Mr. Slade was going to somehow, like, catch them or whatever. And that it was going to just be a nightmare of a situation. Neither one of those things happened. And I was so happy.
Me too. I like, you know, whenever the conflicts aren't the most obvious conflicts.
Right.
There's still conflicts in this book, but
yeah, there are.
I feel like they're more very personal between Starlet and Milo, which I preferred a lot.
Yes.
And it is just them working through stuff, which
it's both about their relationship.
It's about it's and it's so personal to them.
Yes.
And I feel like it's natural for them to come to a breaking point because emotions are so high. They're dealing some very heavy shit. It would be weird if they didn't have some sort of speed bump, you know? So this weekend away,
let's get to this boutique hotel.
Okay, so the boutique hotel, it's booked up and there's only
bed. Guess what? There's only one bed in the honeymoon suite.
We love it.
Oh my God.
Love only one bed. It's so funny. Milo's joking. He's so unserious and she's like, this is the worst thing ever. And he's like, I don't see it that way at all. And mm-hmm. teasing her. Like, he's always been teasing
her. He's very teasing.
About, like, let's hook up again. And she's like, you know, we can't do it. And he's only half-heartedly really doing it. Oh, yeah.
He can't stop thinking about
her. But, I mean, this situation, he's just like, oh, God, this is just so perfect.
This is killing me.
They nap together before they go do their hike. And it's so just, like, so sweet. So she does, like, a pillow fort between them. And then she ends up by, like, going to
clinging
his
side. To him, yeah.
And her first reaction was to fuss at him. But then she realized that he didn't move. She did.
Yeah, it was her fault.
And then she just kind of laid there with him, like, mm-hmm. stealing that moment. Yeah. Because she knew that this was technically wrong, but, like,
yeah.
it feels so right. It feels so right. So when then we have the ice caves.
Yes, the ice caves.
And he's taking the beautiful pictures, and then he turns the camera on her, takes pictures of her, and then they take pictures together. It just feels like such a perfect moment.
It was so natural, you know? And that, see, that's another thing. Would these pictures be discovered? Like, none of that happens. Yeah. This is just a joyful moment of them. It's really all about them falling in love. It's all about them
ruining.
No, yeah, they're just falling in love. And it's so genuine. And so I love this moment when they're packing stuff up. And he just says, I got to tell you something. I haven't stopped thinking about kissing you all day long.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if I'm honest, I haven't thought about kissing you every time I see you. Like, it's just like this beautiful moment. He gets closer and closer and closer. And then rather than resist him, she just follows her heart and goes for it. And so then they have sex.
Because it feels it's so just, removed from reality.
Yes. They're not at home. So they're kind of like outside their world. Yeah. And they're back in another bubble.
Yeah.
You know?
In a little bubble.
Yes.
Where
they can have each other.
Things
where they
don't
can
matter.
Just,
things don't matter as much.
Yeah.
They're not in danger of being caught here. So they kind of give in. And so they end up by having sex in the car.
And an amazing weekend.
Beautiful, amazing weekend. They actually get comp since that they were supposed to have two rooms. They're like, hey, so dinner's on us. And they have like this little igloo.
You can have, I'm like, oh my God.
And they have like champagne. And it's just so beautiful. I love how they have this like beautiful private moment. And when they're actually, together, I love this internal thought from Milo, and he says, I understand that a woman couldn't cure a person's depression. He acknowledges that he is depressed. But he says, but damn it, did Starlet make it a little easier to breathe? And that's just how their relationship is.
Yeah.
It's easier.
He's coming back
together.
To life because of her.
It's
you know?
Easier. Starlet's life is more vibrant for Milo being in it. Mm-hmm. And more real instead of just like this fake plan that she
and
had.
And following this plan
and
she
Milo
had.
Has found the light at the end of the tunnel in Starlet. Like she mm-hmm. can't make him do anything, but also she can be a motivator. And I think that that's important.
And he's wanting to do things now, not just for himself, but also he doesn't want to disappoint her. So it's like she's become this positive force in his life
very positive.
So many ways.
So he actually says when Starlet drops him off, he's like, I don't want this to end. And she's like, you know, it's wrong that we can't do it. And he was like, but it's not going to be forever. Yeah. Like, I'm going to graduate and you're going to be done with student teaching. Like, it's possible.
They both kind of agree. Like, okay, until then.
At first, like, I don't want to make you wait. And he was like, Starlet, what? Of course I'll wait for you.
It's
like,
a couple of months
at most. Like, come on. Yeah. Like, this thing is real
between
us.
Their secret relationship.
And so she's like, okay, that's fine, but we can't do anything, like, in those couple of months. Like, we have to, you know, be strict about not getting caught or anything.
Yeah.
So they kind of agree.
And just be friends.
Yeah, just
until
be friends.
Then.
But, like, she accepts his calls, the sexy calls, sexy. You know, at night. Whitney actually, so I, this is another thing I really want to mention, that I love how Brittany Cherry wrote Whitney as a friend.
Yes.
Because there is a moment where Starlet, she's a bad liar, okay? She's a bad liar.
Yeah.
And whenever she comes back from this weekend, Whitney's just kind of like, what did you do? And she confesses that she saw Milo again, even mm-hmm. though, you know, Whitney does know that he is a student. She's like, what are you doing? You're ruining your life.
Yeah,
Holy fucking shit.
Dude, you could lose any possibility of ever being a teacher if you're caught.
Like, so she lays into Starlet. She's like, you know that if I was doing the same thing, you would be saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And, like, Starlet knows, and she has this tough love, but, like, she still can't let go of Milo. So she starts hiding it from Whitney. But I like later on when Whitney does discover that she still is seeing Milo, even after this point.
Yeah.
I like how Whitney has a moment later on where she's just like, okay, you don't need me to tell you how wrong
which
this is.
Which friend do you need? Do you need the supportive friend?
Blunt friend or like, which one do you need? The reality friend?
Right.
And so I like how Whitney does come. She's like, okay, no, you need a shoulder to lean on. You need somebody to not say how wrong it is, but just listen to
and
you.
And when Star said, like, this is real love, and she's like, okay, so my caution is to be careful.
Yeah,
you know,
careful.
Like.
So I really like how the supportiveness of the friends and also like the family, because later on, I mean, like Starlet's dad, we'll talk about him later on. I love the way that she writes their support system. Yeah. It's just beautiful to me. So I really like it. So anyway.
So then we go ahead.
No, you go.
So then we have a moment in class where he has almost sort of like a little panic attack, and he stands up and he can't see and he falls.
His vision literally goes dark.
Like he's like, everything goes black and he falls down.
He's like, what the fuck is this?
And of course, Slade says something stupid like,
you're trying to get out of this pop quiz. And so this was something that I also messaged Crystal about whenever I started rereading. At the very beginning, when he is with his friends at the party, getting high and drunk before Tom takes him home, he runs into a side table. Yeah. And his friend, Savannah, says like, oh my God, you're always running into things. I originally thought that it was because he was drunk and high. And upon reread, I already knew that he was losing his vision. And I was like, Brittany Cherry, you're fucking brilliant.
Exactly.
There was many moments.
There was another moment where he's like, am I blacking out already? Because everything goes black because he is high at the time when he experiences it. But then his vision comes back all of a sudden.
In the morning, he's like, it's super dark. Like, and it takes me a while to get my bearings in the morning. Yeah. It's all hints that there is something wrong with Milo's vision.
Yes.
And he has not been paying attention to it.
No.
And this is the moment where Starlet's just kind of like, what was that in class?
You need to go see the eye doctor.
And he's like, I just blacked out. It's fine. And she's like, it is absolutely not fine.
That is not normal.
Yeah. Like, promise me you'll go get it checked out. And so the fact that Starlet's so concerned about it, he's like, fine, I will. I'll go check it out. All right.
Yeah.
She is there to notice this, to force him.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's been with his dad, but his dad doesn't notice. And even when he, tells his dad, I need the insurance card, he's like, why? What'd you do? Like, what's going on? He's like, Dad, I got to go check my eyes.
And he's like, whatever.
Whatever, here.
Like, you know, your mom used to handle it, but I'll find it, whatever. So he goes to his eye appointment, and it does not go well. She's going to refer him to a specialist because she thinks that he has, this degenerative eye disease.
Retinitis.
That's
very
pigmentosa or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it can cause blindness. So whenever he goes home and he starts researching it, he just holy shit, I could this go is fucking
what
I, blind.
And all the symptoms, the early symptoms, this is exactly what I'm experiencing. He knows that he's I am going blind.
So
That's
at first
what
he doesn't want to tell Starlet about it. And the next time they meet and she's like, how the eye appointment go? And he's like, it was fine, whatever. And kind of dismisses it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's acting weird.
Yeah,
and he tells her that he's I already finished my homework and I just want to sit here and can we just stare at each other for a while? And she's like, Milo, what is going on? And he's like, okay. He's like, I'm going blind. And Starlet's like, no, you're not. He's like, Starlet, it's okay. And she's like, no, you're not. So she starts freaking out and he's like, please don't spiral because I can't spiral right now. And so she has to kind of bring it together. And what he says right here, literally breaks my heart so much. But I love how they have, this is how you know it's true love. So Milo says, I want to stare at the most important things in my life a little more often lately, just for 10 minutes or so. And
oh my God.
Just this is so heartbreaking. The fact that he's one day
I will not be able to see her. And what a plot twist. I was oh my God.
I was dying inside. I was holy fucking shit. Oh my God. But he's not giving up. And he's telling Starlet, he's like, one day I'm going to love you out loud and it'll be the best day of my life. And oh my God.
That line, that killed me. Because they're still hiding there. And the thing is, now she knows he needs her not only for the grieving mother part, but he needs a support system. To get through what he's going through.
So, of course, Starlet's a researcher. She's researching, everything.
He
finally tells his dad. He's like, Dad, I'm going blind. I need you to come with me. I need you to drive me to my appointments. Also, how he, doesn't want to drive anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's not safe. And he's like, I need you to take
me
to my appointments.
Dad's like, would you get a ticket? He's like, no, Dad.
I need you to drive me to school. I need you to be a parent. I need you to be there.
Yeah.
And so sad whenever he goes to the specialist. His dad was in the waiting room. And then whenever the...
Then he jets to a bar.
Yeah, he just needed a drink real quick and he leaves Milo. Yeah. Milo has to ride the bus back.
I mean, it's so obvious his dad is an alcoholic.
Yeah, very much so. Cry for help. But then, so Milo actually starts seeing a therapist and he starts going to
a group therapy. Oh my God, his group therapy.
So there's these two characters.
This is some comic relief.
Henry and Bobby. Henry's an old curmudgeon guy and Bobby is a kid who was born blind.
Yeah.
And later on we find out that Henry is the step-grandfather of Bobby. And it's just so funny because
Greg is the pessimist of the group.
Yes. And they all have different personalities and they're giving Milo advice and stuff that. And I really love, like, the morning where Starlet, like, sits with him on the bench, too, because she's like, I want to be here with your, like, sunrises and stuff. I want to experience all this with you. And he confesses, he's like, I'm scared, you know, and I don't want to be a burden on you. And she's just like, no, you could never be a burden. Like, I'm with you all the way. And the problem is Starlet's neglecting her own self now because she gets her first C.
And she doesn't even blink.
She doesn't care that much.
And she's
about
just
it.
Like, even when she's like, I'm skipping today. Like, this is so out. It's one thing to make like a couple of decisions that are different and to sort of find your own path. But it is obvious that she is becoming consumed by Milo so much that she's completely neglecting her life.
But she does have this one thought, which I think is very important, but she's not focusing enough on herself to follow this thought through because it's a good one.
Right.
But she thinks, I've been going back and forth in my mind wondering if my life choices are actually my own. Or was I trying to hold on to my mother's legacy as much as possible? Was I trying to be a carbon copy of the woman I'd loved more than anything because I missed her so deeply?
Which is exactly what she's doing.
That's what she has been doing. And she knows that what she has with Milo has been so real that she's not willing to give it up. Which all of this is like, these are good realizations, but she's not following through. She's not trying to make a change in her life. She's just switching to her focus being all on Milo and nothing on her. She's not going to figure out her life.
I thought this was very interesting because it's like in the beginning, it's like this relationship is perfect. That they are like, they're pairing each other and giving each other's needs. And then all of a sudden, Starlet starts falling into Milo and losing herself.
The balance isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
There's
and
no more balance
just,
in the relationship.
You know, and it's like we've seen this in real life, right? Or maybe even experienced it ourselves. And so it's very interesting to see Brittany Cherry like go this way with this character.
Right.
I wasn't expecting it.
And even to the point where Milo's dad, which he's been good for the most part.
Yeah.
He forgets to pick him up from group therapy. And so he ends up by having to call Starlet. He didn't want to do this.
Right.
And whenever Starlet drops him off, the dad is in the front lawn peeing
pissing
in a bush.
In
he's drunk. Lawn. And apparently it's the anniversary of their wedding.
Yeah.
And Starlet takes it all in stride and dances with him and helps
it was kind of sweet.
Bed. It was.
You know?
And this is the first night that Starlet actually stays over.
Yeah.
With Milo.
And then she just starts packing bags and just staying
just,
over.
Like, her whole life starts to become Milo.
Right.
And Milo convinces Starlet the next day, hey, let's play hooky. Let's go to Chicago and we can just be and stuff like that. So Starlet does end up by playing hooky. They decide to turn off their phones to be completely unplugged. They have a wonderful day. But when Milo turns his phone on at the end of the day, his uncle's been trying to get in touch with him because apparently
his dad got in a car accident
and he is beating up himself because Starlet had originally suggested like, hey, just spend the day with your dad, you know, maybe you can bond. And he's like, we don't do that.
We don't do that. We're not
and
like so, you and your dad.
Yeah. And so Milo feels really bad because he's like, if I did spend the day with my dad, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
He wouldn't have been. Yeah.
He's also very annoyed with his dad because he's just like, that's how Starlet's mom died. Starlet's mom was hit by a drunk driver when she was riding her bike. And so he's very personally offended by the fact that his dad would get behind the wheel drunk, but also this is a moment where he could have lost both parents.
Yeah.
And he is just dying inside. Starlet drives him to the hospital. She wants to get down and he's like, no, you could get caught. My uncle's here.
You need to stay.
So she stays in the car for like hours waiting for
him. I love when he goes to start. So then we have some moments where he starts to go and talk to his dad every day. His dad's in a coma. Okay. And I love the first thing he does is he tells his father how pissed off he is at him. He's like, I am angry at you. Like, you're supposed to be the parent. You're supposed to be there for me. And you never are. If mom were here, she would have done a better job than
and
you. Like, he's like letting out
and,
all
like,
of his feelings.
Notice and like,
it's almost perfect
it's
that his father's in a coma. Yeah. He can get all these feelings out, not knowing for sure whether his dad can hear all these things, you know, but like, just like, and then each day, the words become more gentle. And like, Dad, I really
but
need you.
But he also
you.
Says
I wish
in that moment,
here.
And he's just like, and I'm so pissed at you because, you know, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to fix this. But
yes.
Maybe we won't have an opportunity. And I haven't told you I loved you, but I love you. And he's so mad, but he loves his dad still. He's like, I don't want you to go. And that's just like so hard to hear. But so again, Starlet staying with Milo and actually Milo, like, you know, they're alone in the house now. And in the morning after Starlet's, you know, been there for him, he's like, I want to cook for you. And so he goes to the recipe box, which he has not touched since his mom died. And he discovers that every recipe card has a note.
And she addresses it to
my world.
Because Milo is his world.
Yes.
Which is just
And basically just
sweet.
Saying like, you know, just saying all these beautiful things about like these recipes.
Yeah, and this one, is a great one to share on a Sunday afternoon. Yes. And, you know, like, it's just the sweetest thing.
And it's such like, it's definitely what he needs to hear right now, because the one with the bread, like he wants to make bread, says making bread takes time, a lot of resting. Humans are like bread too. Sometimes we need a little rest to rise. Con amore, mama. And he does. Sometimes you just need a break. And
right.
Like the dad needs a break. Milo needs a break. And mm-hmm. sometimes you just need that in order to
well,
like,
and interestingly enough, we're going to have a break between them too.
Yeah. Yeah. So... finally, Milo's dad, he ends up by waking up from the coma.
And he admits he has a problem and he wants to go to rehab. He wants to get this fixed.
So the uncle decides he's going to drive the dad to rehab.
Right.
And so Milo's fine. And Milo and Starlet are at the house together. And then all of a sudden, there's keys in the door.
And Weston bursts in. He's like, hey, I know you wanted to be alone today, but... And then, of course, he freezes. Because Starlet is standing there in her underwear and one of his t-shirts. Which is how she spends the day with him.
Yeah.
And so it's like...
all comes crashing down. Yes. He's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Starlet's just like deer in headlights, doesn't know what to say. And
embarrassed.
He's like, I think you should leave. And starts like crying and comes down with her bag. And he's like, what was this, a sleepover? Like, what is going on? And
yeah.
She's like, I'm so sorry. Whatever. And so she goes back to her dorm and stuff. And she's crying. She's like, yeah, I got caught.
Yeah.
And Milo tries to tell, you know, the uncle, like, it's not what you think or whatever.
But it's so funny because all these things they're saying is exactly what it would sound like. You know, like, oh, y'all just two are having like a fucking fling. And, yeah, it's not what it looks like. Well, yeah, right, whatever, kid. Like, she took advantage of you, you know, whatever. But yeah. They're really not very far in age, but she's supposed to be the responsible adult in this situation, you know.
And Milo's finally realizing, you know, even though – so the next day, whenever she's actually at the school and stuff, the principal talks to her. And I really like how his uncle's just kind of like, how long has this been going on? And she actually says, she's like, I met him at a frat party. Like, it's been going. And he's like, he never said anything. And she's like, no, because, you know, we weren't doing anything until more recently.
She said, I assumed he was in college because he was there.
Exactly. So she spills it all out. And he was just like, yeah. She was like, obviously, you can't teach here anymore. Like, I won't report you. But, like, you're going to stop seeing him. That is the one thing that she does not agree to.
Oh, I love this moment.
She does not agree to stop seeing Milo. She's like, no, I can't. She's like, I love him and this is more important and I'm not gonna stop seeing
and she's like, I understand, like, I no longer work here and I understand if you have to report me, but that's not gonna happen.
And like,
you know,
he is shocked that she is
what she's willing to give up just to be see
but
Milo.
Then before she leaves, he's like, okay, he's like, I'm not telling you this as the principal, I'm telling you this as his uncle, stay, don't leave.
Yeah.
Like, he's seen a change in Milo.
Yeah.
And he knows it's her.
And then Milo bursts in, is like, stop what you're doing right now.
Like,
so
don't
funny.
Let her
he's, like,
go.
He's like, Milo's freaking the fuck out because Starlet has not responded to any of his texts and he's worried sick that everything that's happening is happening. You know?
Also that Starlet's going to leave him, you know, because
right.
of this. Well, in the next couple of days, again, Starlet's kind of playing house with him. They're cooking his mom's recipes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he notices she's not going to class.
Yeah, it's like, what are you
doing? And
he's like,
what are you doing? Oh, no, it's fine. I don't need to go. And, you know, oh, I don't need to do the paper. And, oh, yeah, I have a test, but it's fine. I don't need that. And Milo starts worrying. And he brings it up in group therapy.
Yeah.
He's like, I think that my girlfriend's doing too much.
And this is when Greg the pessimist pipes up. But
like,
it's also some tough love sort of words. Because he's like, you know, you're going to lose her. She's going to regret
you. She's going to resent you.
She's
like,
going
to
resent.
She's going to put all of her effort. And then she's going
to
find out that it's not worth it. Years down the line, she's going to resent you and leave you.
Yep.
So Milo is scared by this, but he doesn't want to ruin Starlet's life. And so Milo breaks up with her. After having sex with her that night, though.
Yes.
And she feels like it's different. Like, he's saying goodbye without saying goodbye. And the next morning,
she realizes
up with her.
The next day.
And she's devastated. She's like, I gave up my life for you. And he's like, yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. Like, you're losing yourself, Starlet. And Starlet's just pissed because she's just like, I can't believe you're throwing this away. I ruined my life for you. And so she's just like,
fuck,
it wasn't
you.
Even worth it. It wasn't worth it. All the stuff that I did, it wasn't even worth it because I don't have you. And so she's not even seeing, like, what he's doing.
Well, and she's speaking
her.
Out of anger. anger and, yeah. And hurt, like heartbreak. She's like, yeah. No, I am truly in love with you. I can't live without you.
Yeah.
And you're pushing me away. Like, yeah, like it's just,
why would you throw us away? She doesn't understand.
She can't even grasp.
So she's crying and she leaves and she goes talk to her dad. Finally, she lays it all out for her dad.
Oh,
finally,
God.
About what's been going on with Milo, the student teaching, all the stuff. And I love how the dad was just kind of like, you're in love. And she was like, out of all of that, that's what you're focusing on? Like, what? And he was like, Starlet, I've been waiting for you to not be so perfect. And maybe I should have spoken up earlier than now, but...
Sometimes, like, it's good to be messy. Life can be messy.
You're like, only 21. The fact that you haven't made mistakes before is a miracle. He's like, you're going to be making mistakes well into your 30s and 40s. He's like, look, I'm 50 and, like, life's been good right now and I'm still making mistakes, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm grateful for this moment because... Mm-hmm. You cannot just be perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm more interested about hearing this boy. Like, you're in love with him. It sounds like real love compared to what you had with the previous boyfriend.
You know what I thought was really beautiful, too, is we get a sense, too, that, and we get it kind of throughout, that both Eric, Starlet's dad and mom, and Milo's dad and mom had the true love connection.
Yeah.
And they know how special that is. And so that's what he's focused on right now. Like,
he's glad that her daughter has found love, something real in her life and not just fake and planned.
And she also tells dad, she said, I'm just worried because now he's alone. He's going to go to this and watch sunrises by himself.
Yeah.
He's going to be alone. Like, and I'm scared he's going to slip into depression.
Despite the fact that they're broken up. And I really love it.
Because she loves him.
But
you know?
I love this quote from Eric. Eric is like a font of wisdom, by the way.
Y'all.
And he's telling Starlet about it. He's like, it's love, Starlet. And from the sounds of it, it's real love with this one, which means it's not supposed to make sense. Real love is messy and hard, and it takes a lot of ups and downs to make it work. And then she's like, but you and mom were soulmates. You were perfect. You never argued. And he's like, what? He's like, listen.
We just hid that from you.
We just were great about taking our conversations in the car. He's like, but we had knockdown, drag out, yelling fights. Are you serious?
And yeah.
Also tell Starlet that she was a one-night stand baby. And she's like, what? She's like, what are you talking about?
He's like, yeah, I proposed to your mom just out of, like, feeling like being responsible and I needed to. And, like, and then we fell in love, you know?
So I really like that, you know, again, something that Starlet thought was so perfect was shattered. And he even says, he was like, you know, you never even wanted to be a teacher until your mom died. Like, that was the last thing that you wanted to be. Like, it's okay. You can figure out your life still. You're so young. And I really love that.
Yeah,
so,
she's like, that she doesn't have it all figured out by 21. It's okay, you know?
It's okay. Wait, so at the end of their conversation, she's like, let's go out for ice cream. And, you know, I may stalk your ex-boyfriend for
like,
breaking
no,
your
Dad,
heart. And she's like, Dad.
Do not.
And he's like, I'm just joking. And then he shows up at Milo's house.
Y'all, I love Milo walks out and there's this big beefy dude with sunglasses.
And he's tattooed and he's like, oh, fuck, this is Starlet's dad.
Is he going to beat the shit out of me? Should
like,
I
right,
run?
I'm just going to take it. And he's like, so you're the boy who broke my daughter's heart. And he's like, yes, sir. But if it's any consolation, I broke mine too.
Yeah.
God, Eric is so fucking good. And he's just like, where are you going, Milo? And he's like, oh, I'm going to the park or whatever. And he's like, do you need a ride? And he's like, no, it's just right. And he's like, do you need a ride, Milo? And Milo's
yes,
like, yes, sir,
of course.
I do. So Eric goes to the bench with Milo and has the heart to
heart. Oh, yeah.
And he's like, he tells Milo, thank you, because she's been doing everything right for the past 21 years, and it's bound time for her to do something wrong. And I love
something real. He's
something
like,
real.
Yeah.
And he's like, thank you for that, making her break, because I think she needed to, I needed to do that. And that she's finally living in reality and not this made-up world that she was trying to create. And he's like, I know it hurts right now, but you'll be able to grow from this. So I thank you for that. And then he said that he's going to be there for Milo. Every week he's going to drive down from Chicago on Friday and sit with him on the bench so that he can be there. Because
and he's like,
my daughter's still worried. Yeah, my daughter's still worried about you for being alone, so I don't want you to be alone. And bring your books. I may not be good at Spanish, but I can help you with everything else.
I love how he's like, thank you, you know. When he thanks Eric's like, oh, thank my daughter because I love her and I want to do anything that's would make her happy.
Yeah.
You know?
And I also really love how he just like talks about grief and he talks about, you know, Milo's dad. He's like, it's a hard thing to move past and, you know, give mm-hmm. him a little bit of grace and stuff. And I really like that.
Yeah. And he even admits, he's like, I was messed up big time. It's like the only thing that kept me going was Starlet.
Yeah.
You know,
I needed that. So like, you know, give him some grace. Mm-hmm. Everyone deals with grief differently.
Mm-hmm.
So later that week, Starlet has had time to reflect.
And yes.
She's like, we're not over.
Yeah. And also, I do not like the fact that he decided to have goodbye sex with me.
Yeah.
You know, without telling me.
I love this line so much because she's like, I don't have an issue with you breaking up with me because I realize that I do need to work on myself and I've been neglecting myself. Mm-hmm. So again, like, I'm not mad about that, but I'm mad about the last time we had sex. And he's like, what do you mean? She goes, you made love to me as if you were saying goodbye. That's not sitting well with me because that's not the end of this story.
No, this is not goodbye.
So she asked to have sex with him again.
Like, she said, I want you to promise for our future.
For forever. For forever. I want you to have sex like we're doing it forever. And he's like, okay. And so they do. And then
I love how he immediately is just like on her.
He's like, yes. And then when she leaves in the morning, he says, when you're done finding yourself, come find me. Mm. And so Starlet does take, you know, that moment. She goes like to her guidance counselor and she's like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? And she was like, so many people in their last semester, like you're not even in your last semester.
Yeah.
Decide that they need to have a change.
Right.
And so it's only natural. This is not over for you.
She's
you
like,
have time,
you know,
to figure out what you
she's
want.
Like, no one knows at 18 when they go into college what they're doing with their
yeah,
lives. Like,
exactly. It's only natural.
You know?
And then also we have this moment where Milo's uncle offers to give him the letter.
Yeah.
Early. And Milo decides, no.
No.
No, I'm going
to
wait until
Mom
graduation.
Mom wanted me to have it on my graduation day. That's when I'm going to get it.
And I love that moment of growth
me
for him
too.
Because at the beginning of the story, he wanted it. No
matter what. He was thinking of ways, could I go ransack my uncle's house
where
and find that shit.
Hidden it. I
yes.
want it now.
Yeah.
And I really love that. I
Look,
really love
yeah,
it
Yeah, definitely
so much.
Like maturity and growth.
And then Milo sends Starlet a gift and Whitney is freaking out. She's like, I know I say I hate men all the time, but like maybe this one's a good one.
maybe this
one's a good one.
She's like, what? She's like, just get back to the dorm
just
now.
Get in the dorm. So she walks in. There's a beautiful bike with a basket on the front and peonies.
It's the exact bike, a replica of the bike that she described that her mother had made,
yes.
had bought for her.
And there's a
and they
note
used to go riding.
In it. Oh my
that
God.
That note.
The note says, my world, I hope you take a ride today and feel your mom in the wind. Happy Mother's Day to your mother. She raised the best one of the best ones, Quantum Gray. And she's like, what does this mean? What do I do with this?
What do I do?
I don't understand. Like, what is this supposed to mean? And Whitney's like, I think this means that he loves you. Like,
and that he is waiting for you.
So she goes on the bike and she cries and she rides around and stuff. And she goes to her dad.
She goes to see dad.
And dad, she's like, what does this mean? And he's like, well, I've been building this bike with him. And she's like, what are you talking about? Well, yeah, I've been seeing Milo and he's a really good guy. Or
yeah,
and
I've been
like,
meeting
wow.
him for the sunrises.
Oh, God, I love that moment.
Yeah, that was
and,
special.
So one morning, Milo's sitting on the bench and he's expecting Eric because this is his day where Eric shows up. And he's like, you know, making a sarcastic comment and he turns around. Well, not only has Eric showed up, it's his dad as well. So this mm-hmm. is part of the surprise because Starlet wants to do something for Milo as well. And so it was a surprise that his dad was going to be there. And they have a lovely moment on the bench where he just like apologizes for not being there for Milo and
yeah.
how he wants to do better and stuff. And he and Eric had a long conversation, you know, about like
Eric is just
stuff.
Stepping in everywhere, helping
Eric
everybody.
Is just fixing fucking things left
this
and right.
This is what
Jess
and I want. We want
perfection.
We want Eric to have a second chance, you know, with somebody.
I think Eric is one of my favorite
love.
Side characters of
yeah.
all time.
Yeah.
Because he just comes into the game being this strong man. And I'm just like, I love him for it. Like, mm-hmm. he's like the best single dad ever. And I'm just like, I want him
yeah.
to find love again. Even though, like, he had such a great love with Starlet's mom. Like, I just want him to find love again. Okay. So then we flash forward to Milo having his
graduation.
And
so, of course, when he's walking the now, of course, his eyesight is starting to get worse. But he hears everybody cheering. When he looks up, he sees Starlet. He's like, that's her. She's here. And then when he gets his diploma or whatever and then looks back, she's gone. He's kind of like, did I see her? Did I not see
did
her?
I just
like,
hope that she was here.
Was I just like my imagination because
yeah.
I want her to be here so badly? And then we have the special moment where he reads this letter, which
yeah,
is just.
Yeah, the uncle gave him this letter, too, with his diploma.
He immediately tears it open and reads it. And it's
yeah.
just like unbelievably supportive. And she's giving him life advice. And one of those things is fall in love.
Yeah.
Fall deeply, deeply in messy, messy love.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just like it is the loveliest, loveliest letter.
Yeah.
And so So then
later on, he's like thinking, he's like, maybe I should try to go find Starlet. And they're like, yeah. Oh, so you think that your super secret hot ex-girlfriend was at your graduation and you didn't immediately try to go find her?
What's wrong with
and
you?
He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. He's like, I need a ride to Chicago. And like the dad and he had plans.
They had plans for dinner. Yes.
Stuff. And the dad and he's like, dad, I need you to drive me to Chicago. And he's like, well, and like we had plans.
But I have a gift for it. I have a really special gift for you.
And he drives up with an RV.
So yeah. So the thing is, and of course, you know, if you've read this, you know this, but I love this moment when he confesses to Star early in the thing. He's like, I know this sounds crazy because they're talking about what they're going to do with their lives. He's like,
what would you do if you had a choice about what you could do?
Yeah, he's like, I want to travel the world and see sunrises in all the places, like all these amazing sunrises. And then I want to video them and post them. Like he wants to basically have like his own vlog of sunrises and write about, you know, the historical place that he goes to visit. And just, I was like, man, I would want 100%
watch that
yeah, like absolutely. every day
yeah,
like it's amazing.
Sunrises,
it's an amazing idea,
Milo. Like absolutely.
And the dad heard this at some point. He's mentioned it to his father, so he's like, I know you want to travel, I know you want to see things, and so I've got this RV for you.
And he's like, dad, I can't drive.
I'm going blind.
Oh, man. What a shitty gift I just got. Oh, well.
I knew it. And so, of course.
He opens the door and there's Starlet.
And she pops out and she goes, well, I could drive you if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, and so we
this is also part of like that gift, that big grand gesture gift where they're like, we're going to take the summer. We're going to travel around. We're going to see all the sunrises and stuff. And then we have like the beautiful epilogue.
When we get to the final epilogue where she's getting married and there's one last letter. To Milo's bride. Y'all, I'm starting to get teary thinking about it. Like, it is just like...
My world's world. That's how the letter was addressed.
And wow.
It is so touching and moving.
I just was floored by this entire story because you think it's going to be this one kind of book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally not.
It's not.
It is this sweet journey.
It goes in unexpected places.
Yes.
And it's just so raw and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not overly angsty in a way that it's like, oh, there's all this drama.
Because I have, you know, Justin knows I have problems with lots of grief. It like hurts me too much. But I thought this was so well done, so well balanced.
Yeah.
I had no issues whatsoever with the angsty parts. Like, I just thought everything was done so well.
Yeah, it was. So showdown scene, what is your showdown?
I think I'm going to steal yours.
Oh, she's going to steal it?
Because I think I know what yours is going to be. I know this is so stupid, but it's honestly Eric and Milo's first meeting.
It's not stupid. It's showdown.
Okay. So I just, this was such an unexpected moment between, you know, you broke my heart, dude. You broke my daughter's heart. Like, you think, oh, fuck. But Eric's like, basically, I'm here for you. I've been through this and let me help you. You know, and it's just a beautiful moment. And he's also preparing Milo to be the man for his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God.
So when I the first time I read this book, like, this was the moment that I cried. And then upon reread, I also teared up again.
Me too. This is the only part that I teared up.
This man is just so good where he's so supportive of his daughter making mistakes. And then he turns around and he goes to keep her boyfriend company because that's something that she's worried about. And so he wants to be there for him as well. He's like, I'm not going to let you drown by yourself. Like, I'm going to be there for you. And I'm just like, what a fucking man. I'm sorry. Like, what a fucking man.
Yeah.
I love him so much. And I love how he becomes this support system. Even
for the whole family. For Milo's dad.
Because Milo's dad is like, you know, they suggested, you know, meditation and therapy. But that's not really my thing. So Eric, who's like basically a weightlifter, suggest that we go to the gym together. And so they become like friends. And I just love how the family integrates together. It's such a wonderful, beautiful
and
support
natural
system.
Yeah.
And I just love it. I love the fact that her dad is just like, I'm not going to let you drown alone. I'm going to be there for you. And I just, because he knew that they were going to get back together.
Right. Like, he's like, this is my going to be my son-in-law, the father of my grandchildren.
Yeah.
I need to make sure I support this, you know.
He's been through grief. He understands it so well. And he's like,
and he gives him even better advice that Starlet did. You know, he gives him more advice on how to make it through this grieving process.
Yeah.
It's this was a beautiful story. It was so beautiful. And it was much sweeter than I thought it was going to be. Because it starts off this sort of like bad boy.
Think about it. I mean, one night stand in a frat party.
One night stand with this total douche who's really hot. Like,
it could be so surface level.
Yes.
It could be. In the wrong hands, this could have been such a surface level story.
It could have been a fun read.
Yeah, but with cliche characters and cliche conflicts and just kind of like very predictable.
Everything we expect to happen.
But it goes to such a deeper level than I was expecting. Yeah. I mean, not from Brittany Cherry because that's just how she writes, but like she just goes the extra mile.
Yeah.
She just goes the extra mile when it comes to telling a love story. She digs very deep, and that's what I love about Brittany Cherry's stories. I mean, she's just perfection. So anyway, I love this story.
Awesome. I enjoyed it.
One of my favorite reads for this year.
Very, very good. I loved it too.
So guys, we hope that you enjoyed today's episode, and we look forward to the next one where we'll be reviewing Forever Your Rogue by Erin Langston. Thanks so much for listening.
This goes out to all the fangirls.
Life's better with a little HEA.